And then when I got out of the hospital, I got a note from the health department that I was going to have a new drainage system for the septic tank put in. That was $600. And the Lord took care of all of this. But particularly, the Lord took care when the biopsy came back. Because you see, after the, or not the biopsy, but the examination of what they took out there, they cut it out and then they check. And they found that the cancer cells were confined just to the tumor. They hadn't spread beyond that. And the only reason was because it was caught so early. And God had directed through my wife that I'd have that exam first of all when I really had no outward indications of having cancer. But the Lord's hand was in all of that. Just in closing, forget not whose benefits? His benefits. His benefits. Be sure you see more than the human instruments. Sometimes I fear today we're mainly concerned with the human instruments, and we forget that they're his benefits, and we don't give him the glory.
Charles Wenzel, speaking on God's benefits. And joining me now is Rob Gregory, Operations Manager, WMHK.
You know, it's occurred to me, Rusty, whenever Mr. Wenzel talked about the benefits of God, they always came out of his love of Scripture. The family asked us to read some Scripture, and we're going to do that. And it's interesting, the very first passage of Scripture deals specifically with what we were just talking about. Let me just start from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen, like one being taught. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back.
I think, too, as we think of Mr. Wenzel, his life could be characterized as one who was faithful with the trust that was given him, a trust with the Word of God. And as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. That indeed he was.
But he was faithful because his Savior was faithful. And that's Romans 8, verses 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Earlier, Henry Hennigan mentioned about the fact that Mr. Wenzel's passing was sort of an example to all of us of how to finish well. He was strong to the end. He stood firm in the armor of God, Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
And then what could be more appropriate as Mr. Wenzel rests right now as we read Scripture in the arms of his shepherd? They asked to read one verse from this psalm, Rusty, but I'm going to read the whole psalm because I think the whole thing's appropriate. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
What a glory. You know, there have been a lot of words spoken on this earth of ours since man was created. Some of them don't mean anything at all. Some of them would have been better if they never were spoken. I know I've spoken words that I wish I had never said. Other ones, well, I've said it and it didn't mean anything. But you know, there have been some significant words. There was a word spoken way back in the Garden of Eden. The first promise ever given to man. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. But there was a promise of one who was coming to bring complete victory. Many, many years later, there was another important word, a great announcement. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. An announcement of the incarnation, of the coming of that one promised way back in the garden. Again, years went by, and there was another tremendous cry. It is finished. The cry of accomplishment. The cry of one who had done everything necessary to save you and me. Everything was done. It is finished. A few days later, another tremendous word was spoken. He is not here. He is risen. A proclamation of assurance. Assurance that he was true, that what he said was real, that this was the Son of God with power, that God had accepted what he did on the cross. It was God's amen. Yes, this is enough. And then finally this cry. If I'm correct and understand, come unto me. What words, what important words have been spoken and will be spoken. And I believe these are included in it. The glory of that shout of victory. Come unto me. Come unto me. But then there's another glory here. And that is the glory of the rapture itself. The glory of the rapture. Here it speaks about, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The glory of that rapture. You know what had to take place before that, connected with it? The resurrection of all the redeemed there. The resurrection. Just think of what power had to be exerted to raise the dead there, the dead in Christ, so they could be caught up. During the earthly life of Christ, one man had from the dead in John 11. Not in a resurrection body, just brought back, living in the same body, the same kind of body that he had had before. And people were amazed at that. That spread around all over the place. Lazarus was raised from the dead. And when there was a feast given in Bethany, people came not just to see Jesus, but to see this one raised from the dead. One person. Brought back and still in a body which was subject to death. Think of the wonder of all of the redeemed being raised and brought to life, now in a resurrection body, nevermore to die.
When engulfed by the terror of tempestuous sea, unknown ways before you roll, at the end of common peril is eternity. Though fear and conflict seize your soul, but just think of stepping on the shore and finding it heaven, touching a hand and finding it God, a breathing new air and finding it celestial, waking up in glory and finding it all. When surrounded by the blackness of the darkest night, oh how lonely death can be. At the end of this long tunnel is a shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory. But just think of stepping on the shore and finding it heaven.
Our Father, we acknowledge you this morning as the giver of life, the physical life of these bodies, and the giver of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We come to you now to thank you for the life of one of your children, to whom you gave eternal life through Jesus as a young man, one whom you called here to this place to serve, and who generation after generation of students showed us Jesus living again in flesh on this earth, right here in our midst on this campus. We thank you for the life of Mr. Wenzel. We thank you for his love for you, and for your word, for us who've been his students, and for us who have also been his fellow servants here working in this place. We thank you for his love for your cause around the world, for Bethel Bible Camp and Institute, for the servicemen and women from Fort Jackson who studied your word with him on Sunday morning after Sunday morning for so many years. We praise you, our Father, for the unmistakable scent of Christ, the refreshing fragrance of life itself that Mr. Wenzel has left in our midst. It smells like love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and generosity and faith and meekness and self-control. It smells like you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for one more living proof that Jesus truly is who he says he is, and that it really is possible to live on this earth in these physical bodies the way you say in your word that those who belong to you are supposed to live, victorious and triumphant over the present power of sin. We thank you for fleshing that out in Mr. Wenzel's life for us to see. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give you great praise for him and for Jesus, who did it all. Amen.
Who is very dear to many of us, personal friend for many of us, a teacher for many more. Charles Joseph Wenzel. My friendship with him goes back to school days here at Columbia. He had come back from the war, and though he was a year behind me, he was older and had begun his family. I remember visiting him in what we affectionately called the Rat House.